Welcome to Federal Insights for March, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing managed services, sponsored by GDIT.
Whether from other agencies or contractors, federal agencies are turning more and more to managed services. That is, applying the consumption model to services they use continuously, while shedding the costs of owning and updating the infrastructure needed to supply those services. I talked about managed services with the Executive Director of Enterprise Command Operations at the Veterans Affairs Office of Information Technology, Lynette Sherrill.
My area of responsibility in VA is really, we're the first tier of IT support for all of the customers across the enterprise. So we support our Veterans Health Administration, our Veterans Benefits Administration, and the National Cemetery Administration and all the program offices. So what that encompasses in IT terms is the enterprise service desk, that first call that end users make when they need some IT support. It encompasses major incident response and problem management, as well as the Office of Emergency Management. And that's the team that when we have a hurricane hit a portion of the U.S. that impacts a VA facility somewhere, that's the team that deploys IT equipment in the event and when there's a major event like that. And then I also run the Enterprise Command Center. And that's where all of this kind of comes together. We have a location in Austin, Texas that all the events, automated monitoring and people events, calls coming in, all that gets correlated there, and they sort of manage and orchestrate responses from there. And the entire organization is a 24/7 organization.
So it sounds like you have some part of the cybersecurity piece across VA also.
We do. We obviously partner super closely with our CSOC, but we do have that initial response, right? Triaging that initial response in a cybersecurity. And most recently with the super famous now SolarWinds event, my major incident team hosted those meetings and stood that up and did it. We did it as a really a major incident response, bringing all the parties together around the organization so that we could really respond well to that event in our space.
And is the whole operation physically separated? Because I know you're speaking to me from Texas, and VA
yes.
headquarters, of course, are DC, but VA in some sense is everywhere.
Correct. You're exactly right. My entire organization is very dispersed, and obviously now almost virtual. There are some pieces and portions of it that still go into the Austin area, although we really try to limit it until we get this vaccine and, the whole country kind of moves into a safer space. But we are dispersed from literally upstate New York to Southern California. We're just all over the country.
And just as an aside, was your operation affected by the power problems that Texas experienced a few weeks ago?
Actually, thankfully, no. We had employees that were, and I myself, we were in my own home. We had issues, but operations weren't. Our Enterprise Command Center in Austin is based at VA's largest data center, based out of Austin, Texas, and we have these huge generators. So the data center was largely not impacted by that power outage.
And I want to ask you about the service desk piece of this for a moment because of how large VA is. Give us some of the statistics, users, devices supported, and how active is that whole operation?
Oh, my goodness. Really good question. So the Enterprise Service Desk at VA is one of the more complex service desks in the entire industry, IT industry in the entire U.S. And the operation runs on a typical week, we run about 60,000 calls into the service desk per week. And so to give some reference of scale for that, when you go to Gartner or you go to HDI, which is a Help Desk Institute, and you look for measures or metrics that would align to a service desk of that size, we're not even on the scale, right? There's no scale that goes as high as our call volumes. And the other way that service desks are measured is by industry. In industry, you have financial industry, healthcare industry, and that's how service desks are typically priced out and or measured when you compare against industry partners. But in VA, we service all those industries, right? We have a financial industry partner in VBA, Veterans Benefits, and then we have a healthcare industry partner in Veterans Health Administration. So it's really, really difficult to figure out where we fit, and we have no direct industry correlation. So we're actually working with Gartner right now to try to come up with a model that we can synthesize across multiple industries to really try to find an industry standard that we can measure ourselves to. But to your point, it is running about 3 million calls a year and handling and touching more than 5.5 million tickets a year. And we have about 575 agents on the phones throughout the week to respond to any IT issues that VA may have. So scale and scope here is a big deal.
And you support desktop devices and mobile devices and portable computers and all of that.
Exactly. We support everything, including the more than 900 applications that VA has running on its network. So everything that the end user can touch or interact with, including remote access. And speaking of that, you know, when we pushed over, I think it was around 150,000 end users out as a result of the pandemic to their homes, that service desk is who took those calls. Those, a lot of these users were first time ever working from home. They're at their home. They don't know how to set this laptop up on their home network. And those agents took those calls. And that resulted in, for the first 8 weeks, our call volume doubled. It went from the 55,000 up to 96,000 calls a week. End users were just really seeking support and how to set themselves up.
So 10,000 times a day, they would say, it's the lower left corner where you pick the audio device.
Exactly. Zoom. Or, yeah, it's like, do you have a wireless router? And they would be like, I don't know. It just works. You know, we had Verizon come out and set it up, and now it all just works. So,
yeah, that's an important aspect because it puts you kind of in touch with so many configurations. Every home is different, and this consumer grade type of networks that people are on, and yet they're doing enterprise work for VA. So that's a new wrinkle, I guess.
It is absolutely a new wrinkle, and one that, you know, only a managed service provider could have spanned and pivoted as quickly to that type of support, right? We had to very quickly realize, one, what is it our users are dealing with, the end user calls that we're dealing with? So we had to, our managed service provider, at the service desk, we have a managed service provider contract, and they were able to mine the data of the tickets that were coming in, give us that feedback and say, hey, it's all, how do I get my computer set up? And that allowed us to partner with them and very quickly create a video that we published on the va.gov website. And in the front end message, as users called into the service desk, we point them to that video so that they could at least try themselves while they were waiting on the phone, because these calls take an hour or longer. And when our average handle time at a service desk, you plan for anywhere from 8 to 12 minutes. And that's, I mean, it's just, it's really a commodity-based thing. You have to stay within those certain time limits. And so you really work on doing that. But when these calls go 45 minutes to an hour and a half, because you're troubleshooting those home networks, everything just gets blown out of the water. SLAs, everything just kind of go away. And because you're really just trying to help the end user.
Lynette Sherrill, Executive Director of Enterprise Command Operations at the Veterans Affairs Office of Information Technology. We'll be back with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.
Welcome back to our interview with Lynette Sherrill, Executive Director of Enterprise Command Operations at the Veterans Affairs Office of Information Technology. Our topic is managed services. And how did your support for all those users hold up when the pandemic finally came upon everybody?
One of the great things that our managed service was able to provide at that time was that service, right? They kept high customer satisfaction rates. The pandemic brought out a lot of empathy in people. So people who would typically normally be super annoyed having to wait that long on for an agent on the phone were very empathetic and said, no, we totally understand, because when that agent got to them, they spent an hour with them, helping them with their get their computer connected. So, you know, we maintained high customer satisfaction rates, but at the same time, because it was a managed service provider, they also were able to surge, and we were able to get an extra 200 agents on the phone within 3 weeks. You know, they brought them in groups of 50, trained them, and got them on the phones. And so we were able to quickly help to draw down those wait times. So that's the kind of benefit of a managed service provider, that surge capability. Because here's the thing, their contract is based on SLAs, not the number of people they have. They got to meet a SLA no matter what the surge is, right? So they had to surge to get to help keep their SLAs in check. And of course, because of the pandemic, you know, there was some negotiation that went on there to for equitable adjustments, because it's just the right thing. Yeah.
And before we get into some of the details of how you operate with managed service providers, just give us a sense of the metrics that you are looking for in service desk operations to, I mean, because there's first tier calls and second tier calls, and you mentioned some of the time parameters. What are your metrics for good performance?
So we have two sets of metrics with this particular managed service contract. The first, we call them critical performance indicators, and then we have key performance indicators. The critical performance indicators are the ones that drive the contract incentives or disincentives, as the case may be. Our critical performance indicators are first contact resolution. So those agents being able to resolve as much as they possibly can with that customer on that customer's first contact, right? That one's a critical one for us. We don't want the customer to have to wait for anything if we can help it. But if it's obviously, if it's a more complex problem that the agents can't resolve, then we do have to send it off. But if the agent can resolve it, we ask them to resolve it 95% of the time. So we really strive for that. That's that shift left mentality, as much as we can possibly solve as quick as we can for that customer. The other one is average speed to answer. Their average speed to answer is 45 seconds. So you can imagine, like during the pandemic, at the height of sending everyone home, we had hour wait times. That critical performance indicator was blown out of the water, because there's no way they could answer. They could have put 10,000 agents on the phone and not able to answer in 45 seconds. You know, so the average speed to answer is a big one. It's also one that we have polled and surveyed our customer base, our end users, and that's one they care about. And it's interesting. They just don't like to wait on the phone, the rest of us, right? So one of the things that we've done in conjunction with our partner is rolled out chatbot, because everybody loves now chatting as opposed to hanging on a phone waiting to talk to an agent. And that has really offered a lot of great opportunities for our end users. So we also partner with them to roll out new technologies that are a little more innovative, that help drive what the customer wants as far as that multi-channel communication. They want to be able to text, they want to be able to chat, and they want to call if they feel like it, right?
And did you personally choose the music on hold? Because that can have a big impact on whether people are frustrated or not.
That's true. I did not. I do not personally choose that. But and that's the great thing about a managed service provider, too, back to them, is our managed service provider provides this service for several other government agencies. And so they have a standard that they've experienced, that they've gotten feedback on. And then we get to leverage that in VA as our standard. So we don't have to get into surveying about music and stuff, because that's a very good point. Prior to us moving to that, one of the biggest complaints when I was the director of the Enterprise Service Desk was the on-hold music. People hate it or love it. There's no middle ground there. So
yeah, true enough. And on the chatbot question, because personally, I like chatbots with vendors I deal with in my personal life. Can a single operator handle more than one chatbot session at a time?
Yes, they can handle up to 6 to 8, depending on the experience of the agent. So that makes it super efficient and super nice, right? Because now you're helping to drive down call volume, and you're handling more customers at one time and able to service more customers. Because obviously, while the customer's typing their next question, the agent can be a little bit multitasking with the other customers that are on it. So Chatbot really, I think, is going to be more and more used and expanded as we go into the future.
And does chatbot, it must come with some technologies that kind of enhance the efficiency and the productivity of the people operating it. For example, automatically telling someone, I'm making this up, but you can tell me, I'll be right with you, or I'm looking up your answer, that type of thing.
Right. And so it's probably good here for me to clarify, especially since my team will let me know. So there's chat and then there's chatbot. And I apologize, I was using them interchangeably and they're really not. So chat is chat with an agent, right? Chat with a live agent. Chatbot is more of that AI technology or the artificial intelligence technology that has a bit of a workflow behind it, like you're talking about. So we do start all interactions out in a chatbot form, right? We say, you know, would you like to speak with an agent? And if the customer says yes, then they say, you know, hold 1 minute moment while we connect you with an agent. That sort of interaction takes place. But the customer also has the opportunity to ask the chatbot to search things prior to connecting to the agent as well. So we sort of use those technologies interchangeably in the same interaction. But at any point when the customer says, hey, I'd like to speak to somebody, the chatbot knows to immediately try to connect them to an agent. So, yeah.
I could imagine that over time, say, if a certain live agent gets repeated issues, that could almost be transitioned to a bot because it's going to happen over and over again. And if it's the same answer, why not botize it and use the human on the
exactly.
new problem?
I love that word. Yeah, botize it. We're gonna trademark that word for you. That's great, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. In fact, I have quarterly executive oversight committee meetings with our managed service provider, and that is specifically some of the conversations that we have at the executive level is what are we doing to incentivize innovation and what are we doing to provide more innovation out to our end user community? And around that, what are those high volume questions that people are asking within the chats and how do we put those in a workflow to drive the end user quicker to that answer, whether it's show them a video or a knowledge document or even just walk them through step by step here, you know, click this, 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 and this, and bing, your issue is solved.
Lynette Sherrill, Executive Director of Enterprise Command Operations at the Veterans Affairs Office of Information Technology. We'll be back with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Tennant.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Lynette Sherrill, Executive Director of Enterprise Command Operations at the Veterans Affairs Office of Information Technology. We're discussing managed services. In using a managed service provider for all of this, are they obligated to meet those requirements regardless of how many people they need to put in on the job? I think you mentioned that.
Yes.
Does that keep your cost per month or whatever steady, though, regardless of what they have to do to meet those SLAs?
Exactly. And that's been one of the economies of scale that we've been able to leverage through managed services. The Enterprise Service Desk Managed Service Contract was one of the first that VA OIT wrote. Since then, we have learned and we've expanded in other areas. And some of the around infrastructure and even application support, we've been able to prioritize continual service improvement within the contract. And we've learned how to write the contract so that continuing to improve is now embedded in the contract and becomes an SLA that they have to meet. And that's one of the great things about a managed service provider is industry can move much quicker than the government, and we recognize that. And that's really one of the big benefits of a managed service provider. And we also get to leverage industry's experience without having to go out and do a complete change management program, organizational change management program. We get to bring in the expertise right off the right off the street, so to speak.
Although I imagine that given the scope and scale that you described of VA's help desk operation, it might be the government that's feeding back to industry, since you're so much bigger and so much more diverse maybe than, say, an airline. You've got three times as many people as the average airline, that it may be working the other way.
Well, and you, I think that's a complex question. It doesn't seem so, but it really is, because we learn from industry, because, you know, it's the same processes, right? So what an airline industry, for instance, the end user issues with IT are the same. We're trying to move zeros and ones over a wire. And so we really can take those processes, but scope and scale within VA, that's where we count on our industry partners to help us figure out, how do we mine this data? How do we get to the best of this data so that we can improve the processes that we have in place? And so, I think for scope and scale, but finding how to get that back out to industry, I don't know. That's interesting. I want to think on that one for a minute.
All right. We'll save that for another day. And just a couple of details. You mentioned there's 575 agents. Are they all managed service provider, contractor employees, or are there some VA people answering calls?
No, we went straight out to, as a managed service provider, they provide the whole, as we like to call it, the whole box, right? They come in, they run that end to end. So it's just managed service provider agents. You know, part of the issue, we did try a hybrid desk prior to moving to this contract, and the turnover rate for a tier one agent, which is what service desk agent, is about 30% a year. And government, we just have a hard time keeping up with that hiring turnover. And so it just made more sense to really do this as a complete managed service. They hire all the agents, they manage all the agents, and then they are held to the SLAs and the performance requirements in the contract.
And just a basic question, I guess we could have asked in the beginning, what was the fundamental thinking and reasoning behind going to a managed service for this huge and really mission-critical operation?
A lot of the reason we were doing it was we were not getting this level of service that our end users were expecting. We were running a hybrid, and we were also running a lot of disparate desks. So there was a lot of things that VA needed to fix to really move into more efficiencies of scale. So we went from, there was a huge transformation taking place around all of OIT at the time. We went from regional-based IT to enterprise-based IT. We went from not a lot of IT practices based on industry standard frameworks to ITIL-based framework. And all of this was going on while we were looking at the service desk going, wow, it's not meeting the need, right? So we, myself and a couple other leaders, we were like, okay, we need to transform the way we do this. So it was a huge transformational shift when we did this with the enterprise service desk, but it laid the foundation for every other managed service contract. We not only changed out the enterprise service desk to managed service, we also brought in a brand new ITSM, IT service management tool, based on ITIL framework. And we just ripped the Band-Aid and we said, get industry or enterprise, we're moving to ITIL framework, and we're going to put in a service desk that runs based on that framework. And we really led the change by doing that for the entire enterprise across VA. So now we have standard practices and standard framework that all of the business we do in IT is based on.
Lynette Sherrill is Executive Director of Enterprise Command Operations at the Veterans Affairs Office of Information Technology. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for March, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing managed services, sponsored by GDIT on Federal News Network.